I have piqued your interest with all the bullseyes around here, be sure and come back next week. Amen. I had a message prepared for today. Actually, I had a message prepared for last week. We didn't get to have church last week. And I asked the Lord, I said, do I just need to scrap that? He said, no, that's still my word. And I want you to preach it. But there's something more of a timely topic that I want to speak of today. And if you have your Bibles, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I titled this sermon, "We're All in This Together." And it's the truth. We're all in this together. What is this? Well, lots of different things, but we're all in it together, okay? In 1 Corinthians, I want to read this passage, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning in verse 12 and going through, I think, 27 or so. And it says here, "Just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body. So it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free. And we were all given one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but many. Now, if the foot should say, 'Because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body,' it would not for that reason stop being a part of the body. And if the ear should say, 'Because I'm not an eye, I don't belong to the body,' it would not for that reason stop being a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as He wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. Verse 21, the eye cannot say to the hand, 'I don't need you.' The head cannot say to the feet, 'I don't need you.' On the contrary, these parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty. While our presentable parts need no special treatment, but God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there would be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers," y'all hear that? "If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now, you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it." We're all in this together. A storm like Harvey, and folks, listen, for some, Harvey was not the biggest thing. For some, people are dealing with death in the midst of Harvey. Loss before the loss of the hurricane. For some people, their marriage was on the brink of disaster already before Harvey came. Harvey's just a storm, but the storms of life are many. Okay, a storm like Harvey, though, is a great equalizer, and I learned that this week. It doesn't matter if you're rich or you're poor. It doesn't matter if you're white, you're brown, you're black or yellow, red, polka dot. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you're a Christian or a non-believer, a man or a woman. When you have 6 feet of water in your home, you find yourself in the same boat as other people with 6 feet of water in their home. While some suffered total loss and devastation of their homes and others were just inconvenienced, we were all affected. Now, as I like to say, here's where we are. Now what? Well, we pick up the pieces. We pick up our pieces. We pick up our neighbor's pieces. And we let others help us pick up the pieces. You are not alone. I need you to know that. I need you to feel that. There's a story. This told of this traveling salesman back in the back. Dad, when was the Model T? When the Model T come out? Okay, long time ago. All right, Model T's. The story is told that of a traveling salesman. He was selling his wares on a backcountry road, a dirt road, because that was before pavement. Okay, in his Model T, when a rainstorm came up, and soon the road was muddy. We know about muddy roads, right? All right, the road got muddy, nearly axle deep, kind of muddy. He managed to keep his Model T on the road, but it was nearly all he could do. Remember, the only power steering in those days was whatever power you had in your arms. Okay. He was doing reasonably well navigating the muddy road until he made a slight miscalculation. A turn, and felt his car sliding ever so slowly right into the ditch. At first he tried to do a mid-course correction, but it was no good, didn't work. And then once in the ditch, he tried to maneuver the car, rocking it back and forth, trying to get himself out of the ditch, but it only made matters worse. Nothing he did was successful. He was stuck big time. He looked around and saw a farmhouse not far away, and thought, well, I'll walk over there and see if I can get some help. And he found an old farmer, and he told the farmer what was going on. He said, ask him if he had any way to get him out of the ditch. The farmer said, yes, I have an old mule named Louis, who in spite of his age was still very strong, and the farmer was sure that Louis could pull the Model T out of the ditch. So the farmer went to the barn, harnessed up old Louis, brought along a length of real heavy rope, and he followed the man back to the car. They tied one end of the rope to Louis's harness and the other end to the bumper of the Model T car, and then the farmer began to talk to Louis, saying, pull, Louis. Come on, mule. Pull. Come on, Louis. And then the farmer said, come on now, Sadie. Pull, mule. Come on now, Hector. Pull, mule. All you mules. Pull, pull, pull. And gradually, Louis had the Model T out of the ditch, back up on the road. The farmer and the salesman, they walked old Louis back to the barn, took off his harness, brushed the mud off, fed Louis, put the rope away, and the salesman offered to pay the farmer, but he said, nah, I'm just glad I was able to help. Then the salesman asked, you have just one mule, and you said his name was Louis, but you also yelled out to a Sadie and to a Hector. What was all that about? The farmer explained that even though Louis was old, he was still strong. The farmer was confident that Louis could pull the Model T out of the ditch, but then the farmer added this. You see, old Louis is blind. And if Louis thought that I'd expected him to pull the car out of the ditch all by himself, old Louis would have balked and become stubborn as mules can be. And he would have refused to pull with all of his strength. But if Louis thought there was another mule there or another two mules there, and he thought that he was part of a team, and that he was not expected to do it all by himself, Louis would pull with all of his strength, thinking he was working as part of a team. And then the farmer said, I figure what old Louis can't see won't hurt him. Some of us are stubborn as mules. Is no woman in the room going to amen that?
Amen.
All right. Some are stubborn as mules. But it's also, we have to understand that when we're by ourselves, sometimes it's frustrating and it's a struggle. And folks, what we have to know, what you have to believe and understand, is that we're part of a team. We're not alone. Look around you. Look around what you have seen this last week. We're not alone. We are here for each other. We need to be here for each other. And we're going to see that this afternoon too. We're still here for each other. The Apostle Paul in this passage, when he wrote, he doesn't use the imagery of teamwork in this illustration, in the text we read. He uses the various parts of a body and how they're meant to work together, which is the same as teamwork. I mean, it takes the full everything working together in unison. But his point is similar to the story of Louis and this imaginary team. We need others. And guess what? They need us. It's as simple as that, and it's also as difficult as that. Because it's not always easy. Like I said earlier, I know of people who were in that storm, who had devastation, who had trash, who had water in their homes. As soon as it was low enough, they swept it out, and then they got to work elsewhere. I've seen that all week long. We're part of a team. We're part of a team. This message is the message of the gospel, folks. Why did Jesus institute the church? Well, one is to spread the word. Yeah. But a big part of what the church does is to love and support one another so that we can spread the word. Okay? Folks, to this day, yeah, the last few days out here in the gym, we have helped upwards of 90 families that have come through the gym out there for assistance. And they've gotten anything from diapers and baby formula to off bug spray, some medicine items, hygiene items. It's all out there. Diapers, clothing, pillows, blankets, food, water. They've been able to come. And it's not because of me, it's not because of you, it's because of all of us, and it's because of the people that are helping us be the hands and feet of Jesus in this community. To the poor people, Paul says this, you don't need to feel inferior in this church. And I know that some people have sometimes said that they don't feel worthy to come to church, that they can't contribute as much as somebody else in the church might could, or they can't dress as finely as somebody else in the church. Let me tell you something. If your preacher feels it's okay to wear shorts and boots and a t-shirt to church, come as you are. Come as you are. Come as you are. Some people have doubts about their faith or aren't as spiritual as other people, or some are even self-critical of themselves. So as a consequence, they're uncertain about their welcome here at the church. But Paul says this. We don't need to say, because I'm a foot, not a hand, I don't belong to the body, or because I'm an ear, or I'm not an eye, I don't belong to the body. One body part is not more important than the other, unless you're an appendix. Okay? I don't think we have any appendixes here. All the parts are important. They all have a part in the healthy functioning of the body. God's love and grace is available to all in equal measure, regardless of circumstances, okay? Whether you're poor, whether you're rich, whether you've got whatever divisions we create, they're not divisions that God created. Even race is not a division that God created. It's not a division at all. It's a variety. And God loves variety, because if there are things that my feet can do that my hands can't do. There are things that my hands can do that my feet can't do. My nose can do stuff that my ears can't. Right? How many of you can see with your ear? I can't. But my eyes can. They perform that function. Folks, there are people out in the gym that have been, when somebody comes in, they take their registration. They walk around with them, help them find the things. I saw people sorting through stacks and stacks of clothes to help somebody find a specific size that they needed. We've got those people doing that. We've had people. I took a team of the youth out to a house that is absolutely, completely devastated. The structure is not even salvageable, folks. We went out there to clean it out, and we ended up saying, look, here's the deal. All we can do is get the things out that are still good. And everything that man bought out, everything in the world that he owned that was salvageable, fit in the bed of his truck. And our youth were able to be there and see some of that. Isn't that right? We've had people doing all kinds of stuff. But folks, let us not forget. Was it Napoleon? I don't remember if it was Napoleon or somebody that said the army marches on its stomach. Okay. Folks, we've had people in the kitchen for days. Days. And that is so valuable. Regina and Ellen and Vicky and I, I'm See, as soon as I start naming names, I'm going to mess up because I'm going to leave somebody out. All those people out there had just been day in, day out working. It's all important. It all matters. When people have come through, they've gotten left with boxes and sacks of goods. They've also left with a full belly of a hot meal. It's all important. Whether we're slopping out mud, we're cooking, we're helping, we're assisting, we're unloading water out of a truck, folks, it all matters. Whether we're today, whether we're in here, right over there, where we're down here, wherever we are, it matters. It matters that you just came today to love on one another. How many of you walked into this room needing a hug today? Yeah, it matters. It matters. I don't ask my eye to do every part, to do everything that my body needs to do. I ask my eyes to do what my eyes do. And that's us. But when we all come together, it's beautiful. It's beautiful. And I've seen beautiful this week. Saw this statement this week. There isn't a saint without a past or a sinner without a future. Saw another statement said, the church is not so much like an Easter parade, but more like a come-as-you-are party. You see, the church is for the here and for the now. Okay, God says, come as you are. Come as you are. Now, He doesn't expect us to stay as we are. He doesn't expect us to stay living in sin and all that. And I get that. But He says, come. First step, just come. Come. There's a movie that I actually saw the little clip of this week. It's from Fiddler on the Roof. How many of y'all seen Fiddler on the Roof? Okay. Not many children have seen Fiddler on the Roof. It's a classic. It is a classic. Well, there's this little clip I saw. I wish I could have got it to show you, but the boy is saying this. He said, God must really like poor people since He made so many of them. Everyone, the poor included, everyone has been given gifts for the common good of the church. And all gifts, though different, are needed for the health of the body of Christ. In short, no one needs to apologize about who they are in the church. Everyone and anyone is welcome at the table of the Lord. And to the people of that have means, the people that have ability to work and earn or may have just been blessed with things, Paul says, don't be so full of yourselves. As someone said, a person wrapped up in themselves makes a really small package. The way Paul puts it is this, the eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you, nor the head to the feet, I have no need of you. I think most of us would have to admit that sometimes we're too quick to judge others, especially those who are different from us. Well, differences sometimes feels threatening to us, but the Apostle Paul says he sees this as mutually interdependent. He sees us that we need one another. Another word for mutually interdependent is complementary. We complement one another. Where I am weak, the next person has a strength. When you build a house, you don't call one person and he builds the house. You call a plumber, you call an electrician, you call a carpenter, you call a roofer, you call a septic guy. I mean, I'm not going to ask my roofer to dig my septic. I want a good septic. Okay? I mean, it's complementary. And the end product is a house that works. And hopefully it's built up on a hill or stilts high. Okay? Yeah. Next time it will be. In terms of Christian faith, we call this love. It seems to me that our society has never been more polarized than it has been of late. For me, the gospel becomes relevant right here where we are today. For instance, liberals cannot say to conservatives, and nor conservatives to liberals, I don't need you. We still need one another. Republicans, Democrats, doesn't matter. You can't say to the other, we don't want you, we don't need you, we need one another. Each group provides needed correction to the excess of the other. And I get that. Men cannot say to women, nor women to men, we don't need you. The young cannot say to the old, nor the old to the young, we don't need you. We need one another. We have no right to say to anyone, I have no need of you. As we do it to the least of these, Scripture says, we also do it to Jesus. We are all God's children and we're all loved by God. Surely, all of us know that every day, forms of suspicion, separation, which keep us from being a unit, that keep us from becoming together as the body of Christ. But the point of the gospel is this, that we all need others, and we need to know that they also need us, because we're all in this thing together. This thing, what is this thing? Whether it's Harvey, whether it's going through the loss of life, as I know that two people, one member of our church has had in this whole Harvey thing. Another one, a person in our community, their son was in the naval accident. Devastation. What kind of boat are we all in together? Life. We're on this life together. My friend, there's another boat. There's another boat that's taking me to a distant shore. I want to be in that same boat with you, with every one of you. What is that boat? That is the boat that Jesus Himself is piloting. It is leading me to the distant shore of heaven, and one day I'm going there. I want you to be in my boat with me. Maybe not at the same time, but I all want you to all make that same trip. What does that mean? Trust in Jesus. When the storm falls and fails and messes stuff up all around us, trust in Jesus. Call on His name. Put your faith and trust in Him. Allow Him to forgive you, to save you, and to set you free from the junk and the funk of this life. Only He can do that. If you want to know more about that, you need to talk to me, and I'm going to be standing right here in 3 minutes. You come and you see me, and let's talk about that. Let's begin a conversation. If you have I'm still here to pray with you. If you want to pray, the altar will be open. You come. This is your time. Folks, we're about to end this time together. We're going to ask for you to respond. If you are encouraged, respond. If you're discouraged, let's respond and get encouraged. Respond. As the Spirit leads you, respond. And then we're going to eat, and then we're just going to go. And we're going to be the body of Christ. Are we on the same boat? We are all in the same boat. Father in heaven, Lord, we come to you today. And Lord, we thank you for just for the opportunity, Lord, to come together. And sometimes, Lord, we know that it causes, in the weeks after 9/11, the churches were full. And Lord, I had people say, well, do you think anybody's going to come to church? I said, they need to come to church. They know that they got to go to church. They want to get there. Because there's something that, about being with God's people that is encouraging. Lord, it's the body of Christ. Continue to draw us together, bring us together so that we can be strong. We can be strong for one another. We can be strong for the people that need to be part of the body of Christ. Help us to be the hands and feet of Jesus. It's in His name that I pray.